Good morning and welcome to the Community Connection. I'm Tom Levine. In the studio with me today, I have the superintendent of District 112, Scott England. How are you doing today, Scott?
Hey, Tom, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back.
Okay, so buses are on the way, huh?
Well, they will be. So they are officially ordered. We had the official motion and the approval last month, and then I called the bus company to say, you know, I guess they don't, it's not like a car lot. They don't just have buses just hanging out on the lot that they just, you know,
there's no tires you can kick?
Yeah, no, there isn't. Well, they'll bring one for you, you can kick those tires, but then they take it away. But it works out because...
It'll be just like this one.
Yeah, that's
only
right.
Only yellower.
But they'll start the production of getting it set up and the specifications that we ordered, and we'll take delivery probably in July.
Okay. Let me ask you a question about the school buses. Do they come with seatbelts? Can you... Or is that an option? Or
yeah, you can put a seatbelt on any of the seats. They go through and there's a spot where they bolt in, and they would be a lap belt.
Okay.
Not the three-point harness we're used to in the car.
Right.
But you can do that. But I think only the first couple seats probably come with them, and then anything after that you would have to put in yourself if we had it.
I just wondered. It was just a general wondering because, you know, you have to be seat belted in a car. Why not a bus?
Right. And, you know, I think legislation has been introduced again this year, and they're going to probably take it to the Rules Committee and go back and forth as far as if there should be buses or seat belts in buses. And, you know, you hear a little bit of both because you think, why don't we have seat belts in buses? Because we do in every other vehicle. But then you look at the amount of buses we have on the roads, bus crashes, and then you look at fatalities, and I mean the number's not high, but,
right?
You know, I'm not discounting. I know we had a school district just 2 hours north of us this year where a young student died in an accident. Could a seatbelt have prevented that? Possibly, but again, they would have to, you know, do a reconstruction on everything and see. So there's a lot of research and data that goes into it, and I'm definitely not informed enough to make a decision on it now, but I think it's worth watching because if they're going to come through and say to school districts, hey, we need seatbelts in all the buses, there's got to be some money with it because you think, okay, this sounds like a simple thing, but I mean, we've got a fleet of 8 that go out every day, 2, 3 to a seat, and that's a seatbelt for everyone. We're talking big expense.
Right. I just wondered if they said, you know, at this point in time, you're going to have to order buses with seat belts in them or not?
Not as now. They're working towards it.
Okay. All right. We will talk about things going on at Fairfield's Center Street and Northside Schools with Superintendent Dr. Scott England in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
Here's Dave Ramsey with today's Ramsey Reality Check. College is not a bad idea. College, statistically speaking, is a great idea. That's why we used to say with great pride, I'm the first one in my family to get a college degree. Being smart, being educated in the right things in the right way with reasonable price structures is absolutely vital. Hey, it's Dave Ramsey. Join us for the Dave Ramsey Show weekdays at 4 right here on WFIW AM 1390 and 103.3 FM.
We are back on the Community Connection. We're talking to Dr. Scott England from Fairfield's District 112 at Center Street and Northside Schools. So I saw all on Facebook, the science fair is now over for another year.
The science fair is over. They went last week down to Carbondale, and we had a lot of great projects. I know I went through the night before they left and just kind of looked at the different display boards, you know, the old trifold display boards up there.
And we still have trifold display boards in our house.
And so we had a lot of participants go down, had a great day, and we had 5 students, and they were Madeline Foster, Trenton Mason, Hunter Kirk, Sierra Turner, and then we had a group of 2, Lauren Wolf and Catherine Newman, who all advanced. And they will be going on to the next round, which this year... The next round, I want to say March 30th comes to mind. I didn't write that date down.
Okay.
But I think that's accurate. But it is going to be at Millikan in Decatur. So I was kind of pumped to hear that. I'm a Big Blue alum.
Oh,
so
really?
I am. So headed back to the old alma mater there to
You giving them tips? Are you taking them, or are
no?
Did you volunteer to go back?
I didn't. So
show them the best place to
we
eat.
We went there. Well, I could tell them where some good places to eat are. I could also tell them where not to eat too.
Oh, okay.
You know, but we won't go there. But no, on those, because that will be a Saturday, and we usually send them up Friday, and we send them with their families.
Oh, okay.
And that way, it must not be the 30th, because that's not a Saturday. So don't. Don't quote me on the date.
28th or the 4th.
Could be. So, but we'll send them up with their families so they can get up there Friday night. And mm-hmm. Because it starts pretty early Saturday
yeah.
morning. I mean, it's a big event, a lot of kids.
Okay.
And so then they'll stay up there and then come back Saturday.
So what did you, walking through the science fair, what were you most impressed by?
You know, I'm impressed with the creativity that you see out of a lot of these projects. And you have some that, like, you know, the old, the Alka-Seltzer.
Right.
For example, and the dissolving. But the way that they look at the different things, so dissolve rates by particle size, or, I mean, you know, it's just, you're looking at so many different experiments that can come out of one. I saw an experiment on students' heart rate and video games.
Okay.
And that was a good one. Now, I read the results on that, and it said that video games did not increase their heart rate. And so apparently, you know, they don't play the video games I play.
Not
because
playing the right video game.
You know, I recall yelling at the TV when I played. I'm pretty sure my heart rate was up. But so, you know, but then we looked at popcorn popping. We looked. I mean, there's a lot of creativity that comes out of it.
Okay, all right. No one did my favorite. My favorite experiment.
Yeah.
Which is, I tried to get my daughters to do it when they were in science fair. They just didn't think there was enough there, and that is, does a soda taste better or is it the ice at Taco Tierra?
Oh, hey.
And you get soda from several restaurants, and then you get ice from several restaurants, and then you taste test them.
And then see if it's the ice. Well, that's
interesting.
Is it
the soda? Is it the ice?
I recently was at a Coca-Cola store.
Okay.
And there was a sign that said, like, how many ice cubes and the temperature that it should be to achieve optimum taste. So,
okay.
I mean, interesting stuff. Somebody had to research this, right?
Somebody had
know,
to.
But, well, and that's the thing.
That's,
I mean,
probably a federal grant, though.
Yeah, probably. But, you know, I know last year, we tried to get our son to do an experiment on bacteria growth and desks and to see. And it was really good. Of course, you know, my wife is a science person.
Okay.
And you know, it she's like, she'll say, you know, she's introverted but willing to talk science.
Okay.
And that's straight from her. But you know, there's requirements on what the students can do, and apparently that was too hazardous. So we had to reverse course on that. But but no, very very proud of those students who have advanced. That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And we just, the science fair is great.
Congratulations. Good luck to all of them.
Absolutely.
What is going to the state science fair? What is the ultimate outcome from that? What is the best outcome from that?
Winning. but I don't
hearty handshake and the warm glow of victory.
That's right. You know, honestly, I don't know what comes after at the Milliken stage.
Okay.
I want to say that there's one more.
Is there a
level? But honestly, I don't have the answer to that.
I didn't know if there's a possibility of a future scholarship involved, or
I mean, I know last year it was at Carbondale.
Okay.
And just seeing, you know, they played in the arena, or that, you know, they're in the arena there, and
right,
everything that was set up, and, like, you know, you had to have a certain pass to get down on the floor, because, I mean, the judges, they take this serious.
Right.
So I'm sure that there's definitely schools and other people, you know, taking note of these things.
Yeah. I'm thinking there's, like, a cash award.
Oh, there could be.
Well, you know, check, but
yeah,
but still. All right, well, good luck to the students.
Absolutely.
Going to Milliken later this month. All right, we will be back in just a few moments. We're going to talk more about what's going on at Center Street Northside Schools with Superintendent Dr. Scott Englund in just a few moments.
If you enjoy original radio shows from the 40s and 50s featuring some of America's finest actors and writers, then don't miss When Radio Was every Saturday afternoon at 6 past 1 on WFIW AM 1390. Each Saturday, you'll have 10 different old-time radio shows to enjoy. I'm your host, Greg Bell, and tune in this Saturday, 6 minutes after 1, and enjoy When Radio Was on WFIW AM 1390.
We are back on the Community Connection. We are talking to Superintendent of Fairfield District 112, Scott England. And what else is going on now that Science Fair is over? You've got new activities starting up.
Oh, my goodness. You know, we still have athletics going on at Center Street. So we'll start there.
Okay.
Right now, volleyball. That would be the one that we have that's closest to wrapping up. And, you know, I just encourage anybody that you don't have to know volleyball. If you just enjoy watching a good match, come out and see our team play.
Mm-hmm.
They're fun to watch. So as of right now, they're 24-1 with two splits.
Okay.
And, you know, we have this week, eighth grade night.
Okay.
Next Tuesday is our last regular season game, and that would be the 17th. We play at Flora.
Okay.
And then we take a day off, and then we start regionals the day after. And regionals the 19th. They're in El Dorado. We are seeded number one. We play
at
5, and volleyball regionals are fun because they take care of it all in one day. So you play at 5, and if you win, you play at 7 for the championship. So you go into regionals knowing at the end that you're done. So, but I mean, we've played in 4 tournaments. We've got one more to go,
mm-hmm.
but out of the 4 tournaments, we've won the championship in 3 of those.
Wow.
Yeah, and so they're a fun team to watch right now. They play really well together. I've been impressed. So we have them going on. We've got Scholar Bowl.
Okay.
We've got a matchup this week and the end of the month, towards the end of the month, we've got the big Wayne County tournament
out at
Frontier.
Right.
And so we'll continue on with that. And then track has started practice. They started last week, and they have their first meet coming up at the end of this month on the 30th. So maybe that was the 30th I thought of in that last segment of the science fair.
Right.
The 30th is actually our first track meet.
Okay.
And so we run on the 30th and we run on the 31st. So we'll start
Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah. So we'll and track's fun. I hope that we have dry weather because I mean you can run in the rain, you can't run in lightning or thunder.
Okay.
And so and you can't run in super heavy rain. But
right.
We'll get right into that and
are you using the track at FCHS?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, a wonderful track. Since they've had that refinished, in fact, we went out to run on it the other day. I mean, I don't know how much I ran on it, but the goal was that I ran on it. But no, it's a great track, so we're very thankful to be able to use that.
Okay, I just remember I ran on it when it was cinders.
Yeah, I remember running in track on cinders as well. I also remember digging cinders out of my knee whenever I fell.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. On this surface, you're still going to skin it up pretty good, but you won't have the rocks embedded deep into your skin.
Still, don't fall.
Yeah, try not to fall.
All right, so what else is going on?
Well, you know, we have, that was Center Street. North Side. We talked a little bit last month about the McTeacher Night, but we've got that 5K, and we had talked about it a little bit, but we have got that has been officially set, and I believe organizer Stevie Ukina has sent out things to businesses looking for different levels of sponsorship if they would like to be a sponsor in the first annual Northside 5K, and we're still finalizing the track, but what we're going to try to do is utilize the meet course for the FNB 5K that they do at Fall Fun Fest,
right?
And just modify start and finish to be over by Northside.
No, okay.
And so we just got to map out our 3 miles there, but we're also going to have a fun run of a quarter mile, and that will be in the lot just north of Northside.
Yes.
And this will be all on the 25th of April. And so we've still got a little bit of time. Once we kind of secure some sponsors, then we'll have our registration out. We'll link to that on our website, on Facebook pages. We'll push it out as much as we can.
Okay.
And to get people to sign up. And I think there's, you know, there's going to be like a t-shirt. I've seen the logo. Looks like a pretty nice logo. And, you know, a swag bag, I'm sure.
Okay.
So so that's PTO. And then also in April, the 21st through the 24th will be kindergarten registration.
Oh, okay.
So, because it's time.
It's that time
it's
already.
It's time we begin talking about next year as we wrap up this year. So, kindergarten registration, we just hold that at Northside during the day from 9 to 3. And so they can, they can come to Northside, and the secretaries will get them set up with the registration packet. We'll have tables right out front in the hallway. They'll be able to get all that filled out and get a kind of a jump on the registration there.
All right. We will take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about all the things that people need when they go in to register their children for kindergarten in just a few moments with a superintendent of District 112, Scott England.
Want a $100 bill? Hey, $100 bill. Who
can every weekday morning at 7:50 and Saturday morning at 8, it's auction time. Auction time tells you about the unique items on the block in the region. We give you the headline items during the week and then actually get into details with the auctioneers on Saturday morning. Auction time, weekdays at 7:50 and again on Saturday morning at 8 on the station listened to, not just heard, WFIW and WFIWradio.com.
$145.
We are back on the Community Connection. We are talking to Fairfield's School District 112 Superintendent Scott England, and we are talking about kindergarten registration for the next year, which happens April 21st through the 24th from 9 to 3 at Northside School.
Yes.
And what do parents need to bring?
All right, so the two most important things that they need to bring are a certified birth certificate, and it has to be certified, cannot be a copy.
Okay.
And the immunization record. So those are two things that we need when they come to do the registration. It's important to know that for kindergarten, you've got to have a physical, you've got to have a vision exam, you've got to have a dental exam, but not by registration. You have to have that by the first day of school. And so, sometime in between, and then that needs to be brought, to the school. The nurse then keeps them on record, and that's part of what the state says we have to do. Another important thing for the registration is your child has to be 5 years old on or before September 1st.
Okay.
And so if they've got a September 25th birthday, that doesn't meet the requirements. So they've got to be 5 on or before September 1st of 2020.
Okay.
So, and if they're not, then they can, if they turned 5 September 10th, they're not eligible for kindergarten, but they can still do pre-K. As long as, they still have to go through the, pre-K screening and all that, but they'll let you in the pre-K program as long as you're not 5 before September 1st, because if you are, that you got to go to kindergarten. So, but that is it. That's what
it.
We need. Yeah, okay. I mean, you'll need. There's a lot of paperwork. I mean, a lot of have your emergency contact numbers that you want to put down and. Mm-hmm. And everything like that. But as far as the physical documents you need to bring, immunization record, certified birth certificate.
Okay. All right. What is going on at Northside? How are they adapting to the new Chromebooks?
You know what? They're doing really well. Had some pictures sent to me a couple weeks ago by some first grade teachers getting logged in. And, it's not replacing the instruction from the teacher or anything like that. And what... we got to remember is that the students before they would go down to the computer lab. So we still want them to be exposed to the digital means that we have, but now we don't have to go down into the computer lab because we've got that right in the room and have a little bit, I don't know that they use it every day, but they use it more frequently than they were able to get into the computer lab because, of course, that has multi-uses and it's not always available. So second grade is, they're rolling right along with it. And, of course, third grade's been on this for, 3 or 4 years. So they're moving.
Okay. So does that expand teaching opportunities for the teacher to have the computers in the...
Oh, it really does. And a lot of that, so our curriculum, both for math and English language arts at the primary level, it still has the physical books. They still have the reading books that they would have. They still have the math books that they would have. But then after you move and you progress through that, then there are enrichment activities that then are available online and, through the teacher portal that can push out and do this. So then students can have additional practice that way.
Okay.
So it really does. It allows us to access the full curriculum that we maybe previously haven't been able to access regularly, just on occasion. And, that's ultimately what we want to do.
Are teachers still just starting to discover how useful it is?
I think a lot. And so a lot of teachers, they have an idea because they've been, first grade has been wanting to kind of roll this out in their grade level for a couple years now.
Oh, okay.
And I kept telling them, just hang on, we'll get there. But there's still a lot more that you can do that they don't realize that you can do because they haven't had the 3 or 4 years. And so we have, on the half days, we have one this week, Friday, and where the students are out at noon, but the teachers work the rest of the day.
Okay.
And it's a chance to develop professionally.
Okay.
And so we've had various things, but this year, or this month, we are kind of doing our own, let's learn from us. There's a lot of great things going on in the classrooms. We've got some, excellent teaching. We've got some excellent, strategies out there. And so two of the sessions that teachers will present are on, digital resources.
Okay.
And so on, Google Classroom. And one of them, presented by a former third grade teacher, now over in junior high teaching junior high, is going to come back to Northside to do a session on how you can use Google Classroom for the primary levels. So, there's a lot to learn, but we have so much knowledge in our buildings of our teachers that we're going to tap into that knowledge.
Okay. And being Google certified, does that mean Google comes in and watches what you do or add suggestions to you?
Well, so you can, for example, I am a Google certified educator level 1.
Okay.
And you can do it, you can do level 1, level 2, and then there's, trainer might be next. I can't remember what it is. You can do those on your own. And of course, Google has it set up to where you do the test and you have to sit in front of the computer. You've got 2 hours to do it. And your camera, you have to do it with a computer that has a camera, because it periodically comes in and takes a picture to match it up with a previous one to make sure you haven't switched spots or you haven't switched people or something. So, but it's very affordable. So it's $10 to become a Google certified level 1 educator.
Okay.
And it's $25 to become a level 2. And so I am currently, on my own time in the evening when I have time, whenever that may be, working through some of the courses for level 2. To become, and that's really just because I want to have fun with it. I want to learn more.
Okay. All right. So those opportunities are available.
Absolutely, they
are. Okay. All right. Is there anything else we need to talk about?
Well, I think it's important just to throw out there for everybody that are planners that registration for everybody else, since we talked about kindergarten,
yeah,
everybody else will be registering July 14th and 15th.
14th and 15th?
Yep. The July 14th and 15th, and next time I'm out, I'll have more details on dates and everything, or not dates, I just gave the dates,
times.
Times
and locations.
Just for, I know we've got some planners out there for summer trips and everything else. You know, we're hoping to have Iconic back out again to do pictures on the at the registration, but pencil in the 14th and 15th of July.
Okay. All right. Scott, thanks for coming out.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. That's going to do it for today on the Community Connection.